Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Episode 138 is where we're at today. Rainy day, isn't it?
It's wet. It's wet out there. I'm coming to you from a remote location, parts unknown.
That's right. We'll never know where you are. We were just chatting just before we hit record, and I was like, what is that noise? And I took my headphones off and realized the rain was so heavy that I could hear the rain through my headphones. It seems like it's calmed down a bit now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those wave things. I don't know.
But we've got lots to talk about, so hopefully that will distract us from said rain.
Oh, I'm not letting that stop me.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. As we get closer to everyone's favourite annual event, rooftop shouting, organisers would like to announce a new category for those of our townsfolk who are a little nervous of heights. This year we kick off the inaugural indoor recorder blowing competition. Rules are simple and few. Basically, make the loudest musical note you can whilst in your basement with the door closed. Judges will stand out the front of contestants' homes and gauge the decibels from there. To keep the cost down, council is planning on making one big bulk order of the wind instruments. So if you're interested in taking part, you have till Monday to put your name and a $5 deposit down. Newcomer Terence the Human has issued a statement declaring he will legally change his name. This decision has come after a month of people looking at him confused and asking him to meow. He understands that the town's favourite tabby cat, Terry, aka Terence, has already laid claim to that name 4 years ago. The human will now be known as Rover and foresees no unforeseeable problems. Jean Spentley, our resident Buffy expert, has revealed he's been writing a PhD. The study focuses on the difficulty actors who played vampires had trying to speak with fake teeth. Congratulations, Jean. What an accomplishment. And finally, the recreation of the Matrix Reloaded car chase has been given the green light. All Year 6 students participating have submitted the correct paperwork, fake IDs and licences for the event to go ahead. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Well, do you want to be the first off the news story block?
Sure. I've only just seen a little bit of news about just before we started to record, but I'm sure you'll be keen for, is that Bird Box is getting a sequel on Netflix.
Oh, I didn't see that. I mean, yes. I've seen the movie. I didn't see the news. Yeah.
Well, the follow-up novel is called Mallory, and that's arriving in bookstores next week, and ooh, Netflix have already optioned it and want to get moving on that one pretty quick.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's exciting. I'd be interested to see exactly where they go, because it kind of finished in a spot where you thought, all right, they're safe, but the world is still really messed up.
Who knows? I'm excited to see Quiet Place 2 eventually, for that same reason of like, oh, that was a good time spending time in that world. Want to see some more of it.
Yeah, those two movies were similar yet quite different. It was interesting that they came out around the same time. I think Quiet Place was first, though.
Yeah.
Not by much, though. Maybe a year tops.
Maybe, something like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed both of them. But, I mean, just the fact that we've seen the Quiet Place sequel trailer already, that's probably the one I'm more excited about, just because it looked good.
Teased us so much before the shutdown.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of shutdown, so it's done weird things with, well, everything, but including the box office. I'm sure you saw this story. Last week in the US, Empire Strikes Back was at number one in the US box office.
40 years after it first came out. The week before that was Jurassic Park, which I was very happy to see.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. I think Ghostbusters had its week up there as well. From what I could read, I don't know if you read the same thing, but it sounds like a lot of it is from drive-ins.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yep. Drive-ins, they have different licensing rights on what movies they can play, and they've for many, many years had the old tradition of the double feature. You go and see a modern film plus a classic.
Mm.
So they've got all those prints and everything, whether they need to run them on, you know, whatever format they're going to run it on, digital or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty awesome to celebrate some classic cinema. We went and saw Harry Potter 1.
Oh, yeah. Which
is, we call it the Curse of the Philosopher's Stone. In the States, I believe it's called the Curse of the Sorcerer's Stone. Because I don't like philosophy, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we went and saw that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we went and saw that at the new drive-in pop-up that happened at the Fox Studios, which I guess is now Disney Studios.
Yeah,
I don't guess know. So. They haven't changed the name.
No, it's still known as Fox here. Well, yeah, but they area. Built
a, they did a pop-up drive-in cinema on the top floor of the car park there while the pandemic's been happening.
So that's a good idea.
These things are popping up and happening, and it was a fun night out to do something different. Would I have done it back in the day? No.
I've never been to a drive-in, ever.
Oh, drive-ins are great fun. Like, there's a really good one out near Blacktown. Bass Hill.
Okay.
Got a really good 50s-style diner. You go and get your burgers and that sort of stuff. It's good.
Yeah.
Real good time.
That'd be nice. And I kind of assume we might see over the next sort of 6 months to year more drive-ins popping up around the world, simply because it's a really easy way for people to go out and still social distance.
Yep. It was good just to do something for a night,
yeah.
You know, and not, you know, what it's like if you go to a cafe or a restaurant at the moment, even though if you're sitting there eating your food, you still got that, the feeling.
Yeah.
The looking around at other people and wondering and this sort of stuff and that. Mm. So when you're in your own car, way safer. Someone comes to the window and brings the pizza.
Did you pre-book? Is that do you buy your tickets online and then just drive through and wave your phone?
Yeah, so you've got to pre-book quite in advance. I think they only take 30 to 35 cars a night.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like that. It's quite small. And you don't pre-order your food, but when you get there, you can either get out and go, there's a snack bar and get a drink, or you can order from your phone and get pizza brought to the car.
That's a good nice little system. Yeah, nice little setup. So, yeah, Empire Strikes Back, number one again. Crazy.
Mm.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Ubisoft had a big reveal of a few different trailers and stuff the other day. I know that the new Assassin's Creed Valhalla trailer looked pretty epic. I am stoked for that game. I've always enjoyed the Assassin's Creed games. But all of these, there was a lot of tittering before about Far Cry 6, is it coming?
Yeah.
And it was revealed and I was happy.
Because you and I love Far Cry games just because they're crazy fun. They're just stupid, crazy fun.
So much fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's how have I forgotten his name? He's from The Mandalorian. He's the big bad.
Giancarlo Esposito. Esposito.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he is the big bad in the game. And the trailer follows his son. And there's some shots of a guy in the crowd that looks kind of familiar.
I saw the trailer. I think I was more focused on what the son was having to hold than notice the guy in the... I mean, I remember there was a guy in the crowd, but I didn't recognize him. Who is he?
Well, the trailer doesn't make clear exactly when this is taking place.
Yeah.
The tech and stuff in there doesn't give away that it's modern.
Mm.
So there's some theories going that that's a bit of a flashback, and that guy in the crowd, or maybe even the boy, could be Vaas.
Oh, wow. One of my favorite video game characters. He was crazy.
So there's this hot theory going that you might get to play as Vaas.
That's awesome.
In a prequel, and your actions lead him to insanity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Don't know if it's true. Don't know. Who knows? But it's fun to speculate on that sort of thing.
That's really cool. Because they were, it looked like it wasn't. It was called something else, Yara or something. But it looked like it was Cuba or maybe a bit of like your Venezuelan riots, protests about a dictator. That's what it looked like. Which I only started playing Far Cry games from number 3. So I don't know what number 1 and 2, where they were set. But this feels different to me because this is not where any of the last 3 have been set.
So number 2 was Africa. And the big exciting thing about that was that you could set off flames and it would burn the grass randomly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I came in. Far Cry 1, I can't even remember. I didn't play Cry 1. But, yeah, they always jump around to these really creative locations. I have even enjoyed, I loved Far Cry Primal, that one set in the far past. Mm,
that's right.
They enjoy messing with that format. And I just love spending hours planning traps and climbing vantage points and being quiet. It rewards you for being quiet, and not many games do that.
Yeah. And if you are trying to get, I can't remember what they call, like the bandit camp kind of thing. If you are trying to flush them all out, you've got options to do the stealth, which will take a long time, but maybe easier. Or you can just go in all guns blazing. But I think you get extra points if you stealth it, right? I'm pretty sure.
If you don't set off any alarms. You can get extra points for raising alarm but killing guys before they sound the alarm.
Yeah, yeah.
But my personal favorite is to go around and lay a bunch of landmines or claymores and things and then get out the old piece of meat and convince a bear or a lion or something to run into camp. The guys start panicking and running around and then the explosions go off and that makes more noise and draws in animals.
Chaos, and they've got no idea you're there.
And all of a sudden you get 3 stars and a new place to hang out.
Yeah, that's right. It becomes yours, doesn't it?
This is mine now.
This is mine now.
Get in, losers. We're going Far Cry 6.
Just a quick little one about, because you know, about a week ago maybe, Brie Larson started her own YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
And millions of people watched it. Anyway, I saw a tweet from her just earlier saying she's got a few ideas have been sent to her via text from her grandmother. And her grandmother said, if you're looking for ideas, I thought of this one. If you haven't done it before, how do you prepare yourself physically and emotionally for each role you are to play? Exclamation marks. I watched probably the first half of Bree's first video. And she's like, she had a whole heap of YouTubers on, and she was asking them for advice of what topics she should do, and it was all sort of like montage-y. But she had her mum and her grandmother in there as well, and her she asked her grandmother if she had any YouTube video ideas, and she said, "What about one of like your cousin's soccer games?" She's like, "No, one that I can make." She's like, "Oh, all right, I'll have a think and get back to you." So she's come up with it. It looked like fun. She got carried away talking about video games. She's a big Nintendo fan. And I think I might dip in and out of her videos if they're of topics that I'm interested in.
Nice. Very nice. Hmm. Look, funny you should mention Nintendo. There's no official images out yet. But one leaked out last night of coming 1st of August. There's a Lego Nintendo Entertainment System.
Well, didn't they do that? No, it was a Game Boy on Lego Masters.
Yes. Yeah. So this is a full 1-to-1 scale life-size NES, 2 controllers, and an old television screen.
Cool.
Like you build the television with the antennas and Mario playing on the screen.
Oh, yes. That sounds really fun. Obviously, I mean, I'm assuming after watching the tower, the shaking tower on Lego Masters, I'm assuming that the TV and the console will be hollow inside, because can you imagine putting that many pieces of a television?
Look, it'll have some sort of internal support structure, but yeah, it won't be solid the whole way through. It also comes with a cartridge, like a full proper looking cartridge and a recreation of the sticker that you build.
Awesome.
It's part of the new 18 plus adults line. So I think it's like going to be 2,500, maybe 3,000 pieces. That's a lot of pieces, a couple of $100.
Yeah, right.
And interestingly, it coincides with the day that the new Super Mario Brothers Lego is coming out, which is the interactive game sets. And I have a feeling that some part of the television that you can put your Mario character on top of it and it will interact with that in some way.
Oh, that's really fun. Are you going to try and get your hands on one? Because I assume it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I'm going to get one. I'm on first name basis with the lady that runs the Lego store. Okay,
right. All right.
She calls me with updates when things have come in.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm good.
So you're just going to send her a message saying, heads up, yes, Nintendo, yes.
She doesn't need to hear from me to know about
it. She already knows. That's awesome.
She knows. Yeah. Now she calls me when she's like, hey, the new gift with purchases come in. I'm like, oh, there's nothing to need this week. She's like, I'll put it aside for when you do.
That's good. Awesome.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I saw that Disney Plus has got another Star Wars series lined up for next year. It's called The Bad Batch, animated spin-off of Star Wars Clone Wars, and it will continue that storyline. It's about
Captain Rex, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So it's like the for those who haven't seen any Clone Wars, it's about like
it's some of the clone stormtroopers that defected.
Yeah, that's right. And they kind of all have they've got different skills. And they make like super soldier kind of.
It's kind of a bit of a like a Seven Samurai or even Magnificent Seven. Like it's that sort of guys that were bad trying to do some good before they go down.
Yeah, and I guess it's not so much as you say like the scums and villainy part of that universe, but it's almost.
Yeah, they're guys that were very much in the Darth Vader camp. Because of, well, not Darth Vader. Have drifted more towards the grey and the light, but not becoming like out and out. They're not Boba Fett.
Yeah,
even though technically they're clones of Boba Fett's dad.
Yeah, that's right. So they are, but they're not. But they are, but they're not.
That's right. I'm dancing around things because it's they have a wonderful storyline. They have a fantastic vehicle. So I think it's the AT-ST, if I remember correctly, but it's like a six-wheeled. It kind of looks like a Christmas beetle.
Okay.
Like a big beetle thing that walks, and over the years, as they lose pieces because they're not part of the, they can't replenish.
Right.
They customize it more and more as time goes on, and it ends up looking very cool.
I know that the Mandalorian's spaceship is. It's got a shape, but it still looks higgledy-piggledy in some way. It looks like he's literally hammered out all of those sheets of metal to make the spaceship.
I think there was some quote that George Lucas liked to make that the characters with the moral grey had hodgepodge vehicles, and patchwork was their thing. So, Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon had bits and pieces of hodgepodge, but it got more uniform as it went on. I don't know. He was very clever.
It is. And a good way to sort of visually decipher where people stand, where characters stand within the universe. So we've now got, well, I should say Disney Plus now has this one, Bad Batch, second season of Mandalorian, that Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. And the one with is it Casey and Andor, Cassian Andor, the Diego Luna one
with Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen about that one, to be honest with you. I quite like the Rogue One story. Yeah. And do you remember earlier I think it was earlier this year, the Russian Dolls co-creator was developing. It was like a series, and it was going to be a different part of the Star Wars timeline and part of the universe that nothing else has been to yet, or at least the stories haven't been to yet. So lots of Star Wars coming up.
Whew, it's exhausting.
Please don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
In news that is cool but also kind of confusing, and I need to know more information before I can make a solid judgment. Matt Reeves, who is directing The Batman over in London, he is involved in a new series that is coming for, I want to say, HBO Go Max Plus 24/7K.
I think I'm you said sure that correctly. Yep.
One of them.
An HBO thing.
Yeah, they are developing a Gotham series. Now, this is not the same as the Gotham series that ended like last year, and that was for Fox. It's so confusing, all of this stuff. But this one, they promise, is not about the beginning of Batman. This is the corrupt police department before Batman comes along, which I know makes you shrug your shoulders and go, why? Why would I want to watch that? There was a fantastic series called Gotham Central, and it was about the day-to-day goings-on of the police department in a city taken over by supervillains and what it means of, you know, that heroic ideal of a purely good cop is someone that is just as flawed and problematic as corrupt cops and this sort of stuff. So it is a very interesting take, and it's one that when Gotham, the old series, was originally announced, that was the direction everyone expected it to go in, and it really didn't. It went bug fuck crazy with supervillains and a teenage Batman and all of this one. I have a feeling the network it's going on, the people involved, the fact that Matt Reeves is like executive producing and having a hand in it means that it will tie to the Robert Pattinson Batman, but I wouldn't expect him to ever show up. I think it'll be kind of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where it's in the same universe. They're off doing things. Maybe films have an impact from time to time, but
I assume there's going to be some of the famous bad guys, though, that pop in out. There'll be that will be the storylines.
You would expect that, but in Batman canon, the villains don't start showing up until he does. You know, they're
interesting.
It's a whole thing. Batman is the cause of his own war. Like, we could do a whole episode on this. That Batman has perpetuated this entire machine of anarchy by needing to deal with his own anguish and grief and shit he didn't get over. He ripped open these wounds on the city. That whole concept is behind what I hope Michael Keaton Batman will be when he comes and plays the old man Batman, which is a Batman filled with regret of what he did and builds basically a robot army to try and control the city, and he becomes the villain.
I mean, we talk about Joker being like a complex character, but Batman himself, and I know that they're like the yin and yang and they mirror each other, but the fact that in just what, the last 5 minutes we've been talking about it, there's so many different angles that people have taken, could take, will take. I cannot see an end to the fascination and the well of Batman story content drying up.
I don't think it ever will, because, okay, so Superman is always held up as the heroic ideal.
Yeah.
But if you look at things in actual terms of comic books, Batman is the perfected human and everyone else has some sort of power, and his power is that he's just fucking determined. He won't say no, and he's damn rich.
Yeah.
And that is, look, in the same way that Spider-Man works for everybody, because that is a relatable concept. You get powers, you got to keep it secret, you care about those around you, you need to still make money. Batman or Bruce Wayne is that heroic ideal of, imagine if I had the money, here's how I'd fix society's justices. And again, that's something that can be a 60s camp take of, oh, I've got this money and I'm going to go and fight crime with my little buddy and this sort of stuff, through to what Christian Bale's thing was of a guy terribly crippled by PTSD who went out and inflicted sadomasochistic pain on the world to try and deal with his grief. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox now.
We started something we cannot stop. Well, we did. We didn't start the fire. It was Batman.
Batman.
Any other stories?
Look, I've got two trailers that have me both pretty amped. Two things that I've spoken at length about before, so I won't go into too much depth, but there was a new expanded trailer for The Boys Season 2, which returns September 4th. I was hoping it would be a little bit earlier because it was Comic-Con weekend last year, but it's not long to wait, and it looks bonkers.
It looks insane. It's almost every shot that I saw was just like, oh, my God. Well, they wanted you to know.
It's going to be a lot. And it's one of the few shows, along with the other show I'm about to mention, that I sat down and watched as quickly as I could. Mm. The other one is The Umbrella Academy Season 2, which is back July 31st. That trailer is amazing. It clarifies a whole lot of stuff from what we saw in the teaser trailer.
Yeah.
They are definitely stuck in the 60s. Ben, number 6, is with them. Mm-hmm. If you've watched, you know what that means. If you don't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, context.
But Ben is not the only thing that followed them back. So did the apocalypse.
That's
and they've
right.
got 10 days to solve it back then.
It's going to be crazy. And I think you saying that you're going to binge it,
I'm disappointed we probably won't see Bobo the chimp, their butler chimp, because of time travel. Wink, wink. likewise, I don't know if we're going to see our two cartoon-headed mercenary friends.
Yeah, but that's upsetting because they were such a big part of my enjoyment of the first season.
But I will say, strap in, because I think this is adapting the second book storyline from the comic, which is called Dallas. The reason why I suspect that is because it looks like they're in Dallas and JFK assassination plays into the plot. And I promise you, if that's the case, then you are getting some weird stuff coming down the pipeline. Really, really weird.
So the first season just sort of was gearing us up for it.
It was the palate, the cleanse.
Quite the whistle.
Yeah, it's gonna get weird.
If that is the case, then it probably is a pretty good idea to binge it because you don't want to be spoiled.
No. Yeah. I will be avoiding the internet. I'm currently trying to avoid the internet because, of course, Hulu is very difficult here to get in Australia.
Yeah.
And Palm Springs, that Andy Samberg Groundhog Day.
I like that trailer. It looked so good.
I need to see this damn movie.
How will we get it? I mean, I think about Handmaid's Tale and SBS gets.
That's it. It so will
could
arrive
be SBS.
Soon. It will arrive soon enough somewhere if I'm patient.
Mm.
Hulu is pretty much the only, because I'm trying to be good these days. I don't get anything naughtily, and I try not to VPN too much stuff. I do from time to time, but Hulu is the one thing that is notoriously difficult for Australia, and I feel dodgy about. I don't want to steal from them because the other stuff that I would get is stuff that hasn't hit iTunes yet, mm-hmm. and I will buy later, or hasn't hit Amazon Prime Australia yet, mm-hmm. but I'm still part of Amazon Prime. Hulu, I feel bad because those guys are investing some crazy money and doing real good stuff, so I don't want to steal from them. So that's why I'm being sanctimonious about this movie that I really want to see.
Yeah, I'm hanging for it as well. I think it's going to be a good watch. They were good trailers.
Yeah, I don't know too much what's coming out else in the year, series-wise, that's going to have me amped as those. Doom Patrol will eventually drop season 2, and Harley Quinn season 2, I'm still waiting to come through. But I have a random question because we've gotten in a funk. Here's a random question.
Mm.
So you've had Parks and Recreations do a reunion, and we've got 30 Rock up soon.
Mm-hmm.
If you could pick any show to do one of those just for you, and I'm going to say not
Ab Fab, they've done
because
a
they've
few
come
of them.
Back too many times.
Also, there's no mother like grandmother anymore, so it's like June Whitfield.
Sure.
Think that'd be a big gaping hole of hilarity.
And a lot of people are day drinking at the moment anyway, so yes. It's too real.
They're not funny. They're just normal.
Yeah.
I reckon, even stuff like Gilmore Girls wouldn't be worthwhile because they only did one recently and I didn't really watch it that much. I mean, I did watch Gilmore Girls, but I didn't watch it as much as other people did.
It doesn't have to be something that ended a long time ago. I mean, an easy suggestion would be Veep.
Veep would be good. I also reckon, I'd be happy with, and I know a lot of people would be, a UK version of The Office reunion. It's been a long time since that Christmas episode. A long time.
Just see how cancelled David Brent got.
Yeah. And Finch.
He did have the David Brent movie a few years ago.
How he did too. Finchy.
But it would still be cool to. I mean, I don't understand why Ricky Gervais hasn't started a David Brent quarantined YouTube channel.
That is a missed opportunity.
Recording songs, bad songs, giving business advice, talking with Gary Vee on Zoom.
What?
Bloody hell, Ricky, give us a call. I'll give you some more. Oh, and look, Doc Brown will write up some good jokes about BLM, and there you go.
It's all done. Yeah, I reckon Office UK reunion would be the one that I would like the most. Yeah.
It's funny you say UK comedy. For me, it would, like, I know I said Veep, but it would be that show's, the creator's other show, which is The Thick of It.
Mm-hmm.
The UK politics, it's all about spin doctors. And watching them, God, I would love to see an episode about Brexit, COVID.
Yeah, there's... Oh, well, then if we're going to go down that line, what about Frontline from Working Dog?
Give an Aussie version.
Yeah. I mean, they have a few shows already on TV at the moment, but come on, do that one.
Take a good old political satire and do a quarantined episode about what the world is like now.
It's a plethora of stories to tap into.
I would even... Not just Frontline, but I would even take an episode of The Hollow Men. Remember that one that was Working Dog? And I think it had Merrick in it, and they were the spin doctors.
Yep.
I love shows about spin doctors because there's the most duplicitous thing, and it's just screenwriting but on the screen.
What's I know she's not technically a spin doctor, but I can't remember Kitty Flanagan's character's name in Utopia. Oh. But she's very much like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to say Moira, but it's wrong. I have to find it now. It's going to drive me crazy. Apparently there's quite a few shows called Utopia.
There are. There's an amazing one from the UK that David Fincher worked on for years, adapting it for HBO, I think, and then that fell through, but someone else has adapted it, and it's finally coming, maybe later this year or early next year. And it's great. It's about a comic book that this guy wrote with having prophetic visions of the end of the world, and it contains the blueprint for the apocalypse.
I'd probably watch that. That sounds like something I would like.
It's a really messed up conspiracy show. It's good. It's real good.
We could by the way, Kitty Flanagan's character's name was Rhonda.
Oh, there you go, Rhonda.
Okay, both of those. I love Utopia, and Utopia sounds great.
Yeah, look, that might be my recommendation. If you haven't seen Utopia, the UK version, go and watch that. You will forever have the question, who is Jessica Hine, burn in your head?
Mm.
And there are a lot of people in that show, that someone from Misfits, there's someone from The Thick of It, there's a lot of people you've seen in other stuff that have gone on to bigger stuff since
okay.
then.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Awesome. All right.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I think that's all the news that we've got for today.
That'll do.
For this week. Let's get into some watching suggestions. If you've got a watching suggestion, the bloke already told you. Do that. All right. I think I'll go first today because I've got one that, I was watching it with Tidy, and her reaction with the last episode was priceless because it was The Woods on Netflix. It's based on a Harlan Coben book. So it's like a missing person, murder mystery kind of thing.
Right.
I think the book was originally, originally set in New Jersey. I haven't read the book, but Netflix, it's set in Poland. Beautifully shot. Really good acting as well. We were watching the dubbed version, so we had American actors dubbing it, and Tidy had no time for their acting, but she was not impressed with them. But I think it was 6 episodes, and it got to maybe 2/3 through the final episode, and I'm like, I'm not really sure what happened to that guy. Did they explain what this is? Will they wrap this up? Because either I've zoned out, or they haven't explained things properly. And, yeah, there was a lot of resolution, but there was also a fair bit where you're just like, wait, if that's the last episode and there is no other season, that was not good. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because I looked them up on IMDb and it said 2020-. So maybe there is a second season coming. If there isn't, I wouldn't bother watching it.
Okay.
Like, you do find out what happened to the missing people. But it's too confusing. There weren't enough answers.
Sure.
which was
tied everything up.
Yeah, but there was a guy in it who, because we watched Australia, the Baz Luhrmann movie Australia.
Yes.
For the Critic Cave, I was like, oh, that's Ivan, the guy that owns the pub. He's in it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And he seems to be one of the biggest Polish. I thought he was Australian. I mean, I knew he was.
He sounded Aussie doing an accent.
Yeah. But no, apparently he is Polish. But he's been in a few Baz movies, right? Or at least I know he was in Moulin Rouge and Australia. Maybe he's only just been in those two and therefore I think he's Australian. Don't know.
I can't remember Baz Luhrmann movies well enough to remember his cast of
regulars.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could have been in The Great Gatsby. I don't know. I've only seen it once. So look, if you've read the book, you'd probably know all the answers. So that might be a good thing to watch. But Tidy was a bit fired up about it. I was more like, well, that didn't give me the resolution that I wanted and that I expected from a murder mystery show. So watch it. Watch it your will. I've given you the heads up.
Thank you for the heads up.
What have you been watching?
Look, I'm going to scattershot a couple. I talked at length about Laugh Out Loud last week and enjoyed. Oh, sorry, last one, Laughing, and enjoyed that a great deal. I watched a few of those comedians' specials on Amazon Prime. There was Ann Edmonds' What's Wrong With You and Leno and Woodley's Fly, which is their new production.
I saw that one live. That was very funny.
I didn't get to see it live, so I was stoked that I didn't even realize. And, you know, it wasn't until I actually went flicking through Amazon Prime a little bit. I was like, oh, hang on, Leno and Woodley on here. It was great.
They are so funny.
Very, very funny. Lots of fun with that. So there's some really good Aussie stand-up specials on Amazon Prime.
Awesome.
American fans, check them out. If you've got a young one at home at the moment, it's school holidays here, but there were plans for school holidays, but the little one is sick.
Oh, no.
Yep. Or you're just still in isolation.
Yeah.
Netflix has come in with a big win. They've just released Captain Underpants in Space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a cartoon series thing. I stayed for like the first 5 minutes. It's not the same actors as the films.
Right.
So it's not Kevin Hart and Ed Helms.
Okay.
But the people involved sounded like they're having a lot of fun and Shay was giggling like a madman.
Awesome.
They somehow tricked their principal who, when he falls asleep, turns into Captain Underpants. They trick him into agreeing to let the government experiment on the school and turn it into a rocket. And then they end up in space and turn him into Captain Underpants.
Oh, that old storyline.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
It was a thing. On the other hand, I don't know if I'm – well, I think I might have mentioned it last week, but the Babysitter's Club.
Say hello to your friends.
It has gotten quite a few plays in our house. I think she's watched it the whole way through at least twice.
I can imagine that would be one that that Shay would like.
And
so
I was so proud. She finished the whole series and then she said, Dad, I think there's some Babysitter Club books. Do you think we could look for those?
Just a couple of them.
Yeah, we can do that. Well, they've released a new series tying into like a new, I think there's four so far, but there's new books tying into the current series.
Right, okay. Because I remember having a lot of Babysitter's Club books, but I would say probably not even a quarter of how many there were. Because also I remember them so well that you could skip the second chapter because the second chapter was basically just –
oh, here's Marnie.
Stacey. Claudia
she likes
does this. Horses. Yeah, that's
them. She wants to be
you're
a
like, we know all of that. Yeah.
Her parents are fighting.
So many books. I was tempted to watch that just for nostalgia's sake.
I would recommend it. Did I say who pops up that got me so excited? Did I tell you
no,
who?
No, who?
Oh, the father of one of the characters.
Who?
Is,
I know Alicia's. Sorry.
Mark Evan Jackson, Sean from The Good Place.
He was in, what was it? Dead Like Me. No, Dead to Me. The one, Christina Applegate one, the amazing show.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he was her neighbour. So he's been quite busy post Good Place.
Yeah, look, he had King Kong Skull Island and stuff. He's had a hot couple of years. He's done very well. But he plays... I won't give too much away, but he plays a surprisingly nuanced performance. And I don't mean that in any knock, but you normally get him to play very deadpan. And that's how his character's portrayed at first. And then they pull back a few layers and you realize that he's gone through some stuff.
Yeah, right.
He's had a bit of a tough time, and that's maybe why he's closed himself off. This show was way better than I was expecting.
Are they all new storylines? Because I remember maybe in the late, I don't remember, 90s, there was a TV show. There was also a movie. I can't remember which order they came in. But
I think Winona was in the – no, Rachel Lee Cook.
Rachel Lee Cook, that's right. She played Mary Ann, maybe?
I haven't seen the original series. I'm not aware of the expanded BSCU, the Babysitter's Club universe. I'm not sure where that all fits in, whether this is a straight reboot or whether they're the parent of the new generation or what. But it's quite good, and Shay's been enjoying it a great deal, so I'm awesome. On board with that.
So I would suspect she's probably like any younger than Shay, and maybe it wouldn't be
appropriate.
Yeah.
They're the real killers who turn the lights off on Tony Soprano. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Another Netflix show that I've watched the first season and I think the first one or two episodes of is Money Heist, which is a huge show, very popular in Spain. It's set in Spain. It's made in Spain. I've been watching the English dubbed version of it, and it's about a money heist. So this ragtag group of criminals all come together. They've been selected by the professor, and he has organized down to the letter every single contingency plan and everything of going into a mint, getting a whole heap of kidnappers, dressing them up the exact same way as the criminals, and then printing their own money, their own euros. And of course, things go wrong on either side, and you're constantly going back and forth between the professor, because he's not there, he's elsewhere, overseeing it, the criminals within and the people within the mint, and also the cops and the detectives who are trying to stop the whole thing from happening. And it's wild and crazy, and I've really been enjoying it. At some point you're like, How's this ever going to end? Will it end? And the answer is, I have no idea. But a good show. Apparently there's a few seasons, so I'm halfway through.
Look, the last thing I watched this week, I actually watched it last night, was Crikey, It's the Irwin's Life in Lockdown special.
How is it? How was it?
Look, I enjoyed it, isn't the right word. It was miserable. A little bit, and you know, those three are very bubbly, bright personalities, and seeing them deal with the harsh realities of, you know, their zoo costs. They spend so much money on wages and animal food every week that they were going to go bust in a couple of weeks. And it was sort of following them through the first 6 to 8 weeks of lockdown. Terry didn't appear too much,
right?
Because she was clearly struggling with it a lot, and talked about how she and Steve had talked at length about if anything ever happened to him, then she had to keep it going no matter what,
right?
And so it focused a lot more on Robert and sort of following him day to day, and he was just real blunt with the fact of like, hey guys, I can't hang out and chat too much. You're welcome to follow me and stuff, but suddenly there's about 12 or 14 of us here who've got to feed 1,200 animals every day. So the other part that was a little bit heartbreaking was just after Bindi had her wedding, and the wedding special they'd done had been joyous and full of, oh, we're so excited and this sort of stuff, and to have this of, you know, they opted to not go on their honeymoon and instead put the money towards the zoo, and it kind of paid for maybe 2 days of food for the animals. That's that sort of thing. So their honeymoon ended up instead being cleaning a lot of poo and going for a picnic near some meerkats. And, you know, she put on a brave face, but it was sad to watch this young lady you know, have her big dream day not pan out as planned and all this sort of stuff. But good on them for continuing on making the show. They've clearly got a camera crew on site there, and the show does really big numbers over in the States. So they're going to continue on. I already mentioned a few weeks ago that they're doing season 3. I believe that they've just continued filming since they've done this lockdown special, and that will probably go come out later in the year. It does end on a positive note with the show talking about the fact that, and this is something that's been a big deal in the entire zoo community globally, of the government stepping in and agreeing to pay animal feed fees.
Yeah, right.
So it's every zoo.
It would help. Yeah, it'd help a lot.
Yeah, look, this has been happening globally. It was really good to see it come through for Australian zoos. A lot of UK zoos had to wait a lot longer. I know Chester in particular was in a bit of hot trouble, and it's not weirdly, it's of course the larger zoos have struggled a great deal more, which is surprising. You'd think that the smaller guys would have a tougher go, but they're used to not dealing with as many people or as much money and making things stretch and not having to feed elephants.
Yeah, they got less animals. Yeah,
can you imagine how much damn lettuce a hippo eats?
I reckon it'd be more than a truckload a week easily.
All right. So that's one that eats a lot. Then you've got, imagine how much bamboo a panda eats that you need to source. Then the next level up is, imagine trying to find eucalyptus trees for koalas that are living in small communities elsewhere in the world when the freighting and the shipping and the handling is down.
Yeah,
there are some really sticky situations that some zoos are dealing with. So good on the Irwins for doing a warts and all look at, like, holy crap, they are having a tough go. And these are the bright, happy, you know, we're out there animal warriors. And this, it was not a we need donations. It was not please help us. Mm. But it was the reality of what everyone is dealing with right now is a very difficult thing.
It's probably beneficial to just let the public know so that when people are able to go to these places, to these zoos, to go and support, you know.
That's just it. They're one of the safest places around. It's all outdoors. They're designed to keep people flowing and moving through. You know, it's not, there are plenty of benches around, but it's not designed for you to sit for 10, 15 minutes at each place. People generally spend 90 seconds at an animal enclosure and then they move on. Well, if you can, go to your zoo. Go support the zoos.
Yeah.
Animals need you now more than ever.
Yeah.
It was a good message. So even though it was a little bit hard to watch bits and pieces, it ended on a really positive note and it had a great takeaway, which is go and support the zoo.
Yeah.
It's not a hard thing to do for, you know, maybe instead of going to the pub and sinking beers, go to the zoo. I'm not going to say don't sneak a flask or something in your pocket.
More memorable too. You'll remember that outing.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you always remember your zoo trips.
You'll be outdoors enjoying some nature.
Yeah.
Who knows? You'll see something like, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but if you find out, if you see a binturong and you want to talk to me about why that binturong or that bear cat smells funny, I'd love to have a chat about that.
Okay.
There's a teaser for anyone. Go and find out what a bear cat is and why I want to talk about the smell.
All right.
It's the best smell in the world.
Oh, see, I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought it was going to be a horrible smell. Best smell in the world. Okay.
Best smell in the world.
Well, according to me then, it has to either be vanilla, basil, or Thai green curry smelling.
For some reason, they smell like buttered popcorn.
Wow.
Yep. And they secrete it on their glands and they rub it around on shit. Like they rub their palms and rub it, mark their territory, pheromone it up. Buttered popcorn.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, you learn something new every day. Thank you, Tom, for sharing that.
My pleasure.
We have a quiz and it was sent in.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to focus on like some childhood, classic movies, TV shows, books, that kind of thing. Casey sent it in to the watcherspodcast@gmail.com. She wrote, "Hi, Tom and Leah. I've finally gotten around to sending a quiz. I've been meaning to do this for so long. Sorry, guys. Look, you don't have to apologize to us because we didn't know it was coming." So,
all right.
She said, it's all about kids' movies and TV shows that we grew up with. So
all right.
I've picked the six best. Which Beatle was the narrator in the Thomas the Tank Engine TV show?
Ringo.
Yeah, Ringo. I don't know if he was the whole time, but he definitely was in the beginning for a fair chunk.
He was for a very, very long time. And then it changed.
Mm.
I can't remember who it changed to. I feel like if they did it now, they'd have to get Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah, he would be good.
Here comes Thomas.
He's got the yes. Oh. Okay, what about, this is sort of a guessing game. What year did Sesame Street first air? Which year?
I want to say 68.
Oh, you're close at 69. Yeah. So hang on, when was Woodstock? Did Sesame Street 69. Come out the same year as Woodstock? Amazing. Yeah. All the famous people that have guest starred on Sesame Street. So many. Wasn't Ozzy Osbourne on it at once?
Yep.
At one time, yeah. Okay. What was the first fairy tale Disney made into a feature-length film?
Snow White.
Hmm.
They won the Oscar for it. 1942?
37. It happened before the Second World War.
Ah, that's right. Because during the war,
means I don't have the list in front of me now, but that means Cinderella must have been second, right? That must have been the second fairy tale.
I think it was further back. I think Bambi. Oh, really? Bambi was earlier in the mix.
It's funny, I mean, you would know this, but until you get to the 90s, Disney didn't really release a hell of a lot of movies every decade.
That's right. That was called the Disney Renaissance, and that's where Michael Eisner came in and shifted the business model of we need to pump out content regularly. Before then, yes, partly because the movies took so damn long to make.
Makes sense.
Hand-drawn animation.
Yeah. It's not something you could do in a week, that's for sure. All right. Which 90s classic kids show would this line be heard in each episode? Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I call this story, and then the name of the story would come in. Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society, I call this story.
I would guess Goosebumps, maybe.
Oh, you're really close.
Stories to Tell in the Dark, or Are You Afraid of the Dark?
That's all it. Right. Every single episode, that's how it would start. Well, I think they would have a bit of a chat first, and then they'd go, all right, let's get into the story time. Remember they put their hand in the little pouch and they put some magic sand or something into the fire to go, tell the story. Okay. Two more. In Inspector Gadget, what was the chief of police's name? Remember he would give the piece of paper?
Yeah, something, chief.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just chief?
No, it starts with a Q.
Quimby?
Yeah, Quimby. Chief Quimby.
Because on Simpsons it's Mayor Quimby.
Oh,
and in my head, I'm like,
it's not Chief Wiggum, but
Quimby's in my head.
So I was looking up the names of the voice actors for Gadget, and it looks like apart from, what's his name, Adams, all the actors change depending on which season. So Chief Quimby.
Yeah, Don Adams.
He was the only sort of consistency there. Anyway, I didn't notice as a kid, and I'm sure others are the same. Final one. Who was the first kid to leave in Willy Wonka?
Augustus Gloop.
Good. That's good. If that was me, I'd be like, the German kid. I can't remember his name. Yeah.
I literally walked backwards through the pecking order then.
I always remember him because he got too greedy. He just loved that chocolate milk river.
Look, Papa.
That was a magical, like as a kid, that was a magical scene, like that set where everything.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
I don't know what it looks like in the Johnny Depp one because I haven't seen the whole movie and it's been a while since I have only seen a bit of it. But the original one, it looked amazing.
Good from Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I've told you before, there's a weird dislike of Gene Wilder in my household. My dad does not care for Gene Wilder, and I appear to have genetically inherited that.
Then that was super impressive you managed to figure out the name of that character.
Oh, I've seen that movie so many times. It's just like, I fucking hate that he has lazy grandparents that are in a bed and that prick doesn't get up until he gets to go and
Oh, I have a golden ticket. It's a fun book to read, though. I remember reading it as a kid, and it was amazing.
I loved the book. I loved the book, and then the sequel about the glass elevator.
Yep.
Thing.
Yeah, that was cool. Man. Has Shay read them?
No, not yet.
Bit of Roald Dahl.
She's working her way up to Roald Dahl. It's some of that stuff's still a bit freaky.
Yeah, when she gets, witches. Not yet.
She gets scared of some stuff, but she's working her way up there. It's pretty good.
She's a good reader, avid reader. That's for sure.
She's very big fan of David Walliams at the moment. You may not be aware, but he is like the most prolific kids writer out there at the moment.
Maurice Gleitzman, do you remember he put out a lot? Is it sort of? I feel like he was pretty prolific.
It would be up there with a Maurice Gleitzman or a Paul Jennings you know, someone that could pump out 5 to 6 books a year.
Yeah. Well, Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, that's what Walliams does. Books like the one she's reading at the moment is called The World's Worst Parents. And it's just short stories about terrible parents. He doesn't need to go back to Little Britain ever. From what I understand, he's making a lot of money from books.
Yeah, right.
He writes books by day and then does whatever talent show Britain's Got Talent or whatever he's judged on.
Busy man. Not that he could go back to Little Britain anymore. I think it got cancelled last week, like on social media.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't want that one.
On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Tschüss.
Your own adventure?
No, that's German for bye.
Aww.